Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Evicting the Devil, and it is based on Ephesians chapter 4 verses 25 through chapter 5 verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 through chapter 5 verse 2. Let us dive into the Word today. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Amen. How many of you have heard of and or remember the American comedian and actor Flip Wilson? Some of you may not have ever heard of him or remember him. He was actually a native of my home state, New Jersey. He was a native of Jersey City, New Jersey, and started his career in the late 1950s and early 1960s. In 1969, he introduced his most famous sketch character, Geraldine Jones, on TV during the Flip Wilson special. Now, this character was played by Flip, dressed up as a woman speaking in a high-pitched but strong voice. And this character, Geraldine Jones, became a recurring character, a recurring and popular character on the Flip Williams show. In 1970, Flip released his third and most successful comedy album entitled The Devil Made Me Buy This Dress. Maybe some of you have heard that, but the title of the album was The Devil Made Me Buy This Dress. In it, Flip tells the story of how Geraldine was being questioned by her husband as to why she bought a third dress that week. And famously, and I'm not going to do the voice itself, but famously, Geraldine retorts, "The devil made me buy this dress. I was just minding my business, and the devil kept following me. I was like, but the devil caught up to me and told me how good I looked." Then the husband said, "I'm not going for that. Every time you do something wrong, you blame it on the devil. Like the time when you crashed the car into the side of the church." And she came back, "It was the devil. You wasn't there. How do you know? He grabbed the steering wheel right out of my hand." And this scenario keeps playing on and on in this particular part of the album. Now, while this scenario of someone blaming the devil is humorous and certainly over the top, it is the common image we have of Satan, the trickster and tempter who sneaks up on us and convinces us or makes us sin. But that's problematic. When we scapegoat the devil, What we really are doing is denying our own culpability, our own responsibility in our wrongdoing, in our sin. The devil made me do it means it wasn't my fault, it's the devil's fault. Now, I want to state this clearly and assuredly for you today. Satan only has as much power as we are willing to give. One of my favorite songs from one of my favorite, perhaps my favorite metal band ever, Demon Hunter, is the eponymous song, the title track song of the album Storm the Gates of Hell. And the song is, of course, titled Storm the Gates of Hell. And in the midst of that song, there's a breakdown in which Ryan Clark starts screaming, "Hell hath no fury at all." And that's true, actually. In Jesus Christ, hell hath no fury at all. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear about hell. We have nothing to fear about the devil. We have nothing to fear about anything. The devil only has as much power as we are willing to allow the devil to have. So I want to state this clearly and assuredly. No one makes you do what you do. Not your family, not your friends, not your enemy, not even Satan makes you do what you choose to do. And Satan only has as much power as we are willing to give. Let's think back to the Garden of Eden. Satan did not put people into a state of sin. We know the story of the serpent weaving around, you know, coiling around the branches in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that the serpent has this conversation with Eve, telling her that, you know, she won't die if she eats the fruit, but she'll become like God and know good from evil. Which, by the way, wasn't a lie, because she ate the fruit and didn't die immediately anyway. There was truth to what the serpent was saying, but the truth, the truth wasn't the whole truth, was it? But all the same, the serpent didn't make Eve take that fruit. The serpent didn't make Adam ignore God's command that was given specifically to Adam alone. The devil didn't force, Satan didn't put people into a state of sin. People did that themselves. The devil didn't force Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, not at all. And if you recall, when God finds Adam naked and asks, "What have you done? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from?" And what was Adam's response? Do you remember what Adam's response was? Adam's response was, "Well, you know, the woman made me do it. She handed me that fruit." And what was Eve's response? But the serpent made me do it. In essence, the devil made me do it. That's human nature. It's human nature to scapegoat something else rather than looking at ourselves and seeing where we are the problem, seeing where we have misstepped and been misguided and made the wrong mistakes. It's easier to point the finger outward rather than inward. But Satan only has as much power as we are willing to give. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil isn't up to no good in our lives or that we aren't being tempted or led astray by evil forces. We absolutely are. In the very same letter to the Ephesians, Paul talks about how we are fighting against otherworldly powers, against principalities and the forces of darkness. There's no doubt that we are in a spiritual warfare, so to speak, but that doesn't excuse us from our own responsibility. As Paul explains in our scripture today, the devil is absolutely at work in the world, and sadly, the devil's at work in the church as well. In order to recognize the handiwork of the devil, we need to know Satan's modus operandi. We need to know his mode of operation, the way he operates. The devil operates via division. There is no better way to win a war against a people than to divide and conquer them. Now think of this historically. Look at what the Romans did to Gaul. I don't know how many of you know the story of Vercingetorix. You can look him up, Vercingetorix, Vercingetorix. You can look him up and read about how he was almost successful in uniting Gaul, but what almost successful means, as the old adage goes, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, right? They didn't have hand grenades in ancient Gaul. So almost successful equates to was not successful. And because he was not successful in uniting the tribal kingdoms of Gaul, Julius Caesar marched on in and conquered them. He played division politics among the tribes and pitted the tribes against each other and eventually succeeded in that campaign. Look at what the Spaniards did to the Mayans. The Mayans were no good friends to the local tribes around them, and so the Spaniards came in, made deals with the local tribes around them, eventually conquered the Mayan civilization, and through disease and warfare, conquered the entire continent of South America, when you think about it, and all the different civilizations that were there preceding the Spaniards. And look at what we did, we Americans, if you're in America, I'm using we collectively, look at what we did to the native peoples of this continent. How we struck bargains with certain tribes and pitted them against other tribes and eventually divided and conquered. In fact, one of the few, if not, I'm not sure there may be others, but one of the few remaining tribes that did not give up their land and get moved to reservations are the Iroquois, and there was a league of Native American tribes among the Iroquois that banded together and resisted. And because they didn't divide, they ended up winning out somewhat in the long haul. It's debatable how much they won out, but they weren't forced off their lands like the Cherokee or other Native Americans. So we can see that this method of divide and conquer is a successful method, and it's been done throughout history in various different ways. And this is Satan's modus operandi when it comes to the church and when it comes to God's people. We see it in Zechariah, where God has appointed and commissioned this new high priest, Yeshua, happens to be the same name as Jesus, Yeshua, the high priest. And Yeshua, the high priest, is having accusations thrown at him because there are people there that don't want him in power, don't want him as the high priest, and don't like his agenda. And so this division ends up causing the rebuilding of the temple, the refortification of Jerusalem, and all of that stuff to be stalled. And rather than doing what they had been commissioned to do, they end up not doing anything at all. And this is Satan's way of dividing and conquering and keeping us off of doing what it is we are called to do by God. Paul states that we, the church, need to stop telling lies, to stop letting anger control us, to stop being foul and abusive to each other. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil, all of which give the devil a foothold in our lives, all of that must be kicked out the door, according to Paul. So let us pause here. That does not mean that we should not hold each other accountable. I can hear it now, people saying, well, you know, then we shouldn't bring up social issues where people are divided on. We shouldn't stand up and say that that's wrong because you might offend the person who thinks it's right. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. And anyone who's read Galatians or 1st and 2nd Corinthians or Romans knows that Paul had no problem confronting people with their sin, you know, on their sins and asking them to repent and change and to come back into Christ. That is a call of all Christians to hold each other accountable. So this isn't about holding hands and skipping down the yellow brick road, singing "We're off to see the wizard." This is about not allowing the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of rage, the spirit of anger, the spirit of harsh words, the spirit of slander and all types of evil, the spirit of being foul and abusive to each other, the spirit of anger, not letting those things control us and take us over and make us something that we were not meant to be. And in fact, when we don't hold each other accountable, we fall prey to those things. Now, how do we know? How do we assess whether the devil has a foothold? Simple. By holding Christ's life and teachings up as our measure. In fact, Paul says we are to imitate Christ in all that we do and live a life filled with love for all people. That can only happen by the grace of God, through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, which we must, as Christians, be open to. Remember, we are either dancing with the devil or we are evicting the devil. There is no in between. We are either steering ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to steer us down the straight and the narrow road to the kingdom of heaven. We are either allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us and form us into Christ-like beings who represent the kingdom of heaven and God and live a life filled with love. We are either allowing the Holy Spirit to push us away from the world's way of doing things into the way of God's doing, into the way that God would have us do things. Or we are becoming more and more like the world and creating a wider and wider gulf between God and us. There is no in between. Remember, the devil only has as much power as you are willing to allow for. Are you trusting in God and evicting the devil? Or are you dancing with the devil and rejecting God? Let us be intentional of giving God the foothold and showing the devil the door. The time is now. The world is ever pushing us to be more and more like it. The devil is ever seeking to divide and to conquer us and to split us away from Christ's way of doing things. The world is ever looking to tear us away from Christ, and it doesn't take much for us to fall down that rabbit hole. Let us be intentional of giving God the foothold, listening to God above all things, including politics, including the political ideologies of the day. And let us show the devil the door. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, I just thank you and praise you for your challenging message to us today. Holy God, you are ever calling us to be more like you. But unless we open ourselves up to that, unless we listen to you and allow your Holy Spirit to enter into us and to transform us and sanctify us and make us holy, we are ever going to widen the gulf between us and you. So, Lord, help us to grow in a way that looks more and more like you. Help us to imitate you until our lives become aligned with yours. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so I would like to thank you for tuning in today and listening to this message. It is a challenging one, one in which it calls us to be self-reflective and to really see who we are, where we are, and whose we are. I would like to point you to the episode references, which will be cited in the message notes. So please feel free to check those out, including the Devil Made Me Buy This Dress sketch by Flip Wilson. And so I would like to also invite you to join me next week, to tune in with me next week for next week's message, which will be a challenging message as well. I think all messages should be challenging and should call us to a higher life in Christ. With that said, I would like to point you to our website, which is my website, which is www.lifegivingwaterdevo.org, lifegivingwaterdevo, D-E-V as in victory, O as in orangutan, .org. And you can sign up for the bi-weekly devotions that come out on Wednesdays and Fridays. We're in the midst of a series called God's People, which has literally been covering all of the major and some of the minor characters and people from the Old and New Testaments. We're getting toward the New Testament. We have yet to reach it. And I would like to invite you to go to this podcast's website, which is lifegivingwatermsg.org. And that will take you to this podcast's website. You can also tune into this podcast, and perhaps you are, through iTunes, through Google Play Music, and through Spotify. So you're welcome, and YouTube for that matter. You're welcome to do that. And I would also like to invite you to go check out partyonjohn.org, partyonjohn.org, which is the podcast that myself and dear friend Reverend Sal Sarmarco are doing. It's a wonderful podcast that comes from my perspective, which is the Wesleyan tradition, and his perspective, which is the Calvinist tradition, and really putting our heads together on some of the issues that we're dealing with today. So it's a great show. And also on top of it, we review coffee and other beverages. We review in fact, last time we did, we had a guest on who was drinking tea with honey, and we also review heavy metal and or rock and roll songs, and actually we expand even beyond that, but we review certain music, and we review coffee, and we talk about the issues that are pressing us today from the Wesleyan and the Calvinist perspective. So that's partyonjohn.org. Anyway, thank you for tuning in, and I just want to say God bless you and be a blessing to others. Go in peace.